I don't know if you know this, but tomorrow is Chris and I's our first anniversary. And the song we just sang, we sang at our wedding. And one of our favorite lines was, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." And actually, I have that verse engraved on my ring. So it's very special to us. But with weddings and getting married, it's one of those aspects that we see as part of moving in life and growing up. And I remember with my father asking him, what is life about, or how does life work? And so he tells you different questions, or I remember going and opening up my first bank account, and that was a big event, or getting my first pocket knife, or getting the first time I shaved. This is part of growing up, and it's part of life. And then I remember having my first bill, having to pay it. And he would say, with the only way he could say it, "Welcome to the real world. Before this day, you lived on Easy Street. Now you are in the real world of how it works. So you have to pay bills." Well, if we take that to the spiritual level, that's what we're going to be looking at today. How does life work? What causes everything to happen? So we're going to look at chapter 5 of Divine Providence. How does God make life work? Now, we've talked about God's decrees, and we need to make a differentiation. What's the difference between God's decrees and God's providence? Well, decrees is what God has planned before the foundation of the world. God's providence is making those plans come into reality in real time. That's all it is. So this is what we're going to be looking at today. We'll look at the first couple of paragraphs, Lord willing. So if you have your confession of faith, it says, well, first look at the first phrase, which is the first chapter or first paragraph is a summary of the doctrine. So the first phrase, God, the good creator of all things. Who's the author of providence? It is God. God is the one that's in control. It is not man who's in control. Let's go to Genesis 1, verse 31. Of course, Genesis 1 is the creation account. Verse 31, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day." He's the creator of all things. He is the good creator. Notice, before sin entered into the world, everything was good. This theme continues in chapter 2, verse 18. He says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." And God made Eve, because man needed someone to help him. And her being a companion and a helper, that was good. Of course, we know what happened. In chapter 3, the fall brings in evil and sin. But that's not how God created it. That's our problem that we have brought upon us. Sam Waldron wrote in his commentary, "The decree is the blueprint or plan. Providence carries out the blueprint or plan by guiding the actual course of history. The decree takes place in eternity. Providence takes place in history." I said that earlier. R.C. Sproul says, "Providence refers specifically to God's care in the world and His ultimate supervision of it. Providence has to do not only with God's supervision of the universe, but also, and more importantly to us, with His provision." This is how God acts. So when God says, "I'm going to bring salvation upon this person before time," providence is how He arranges the events and brings it about. Who is the person that He comes to share the gospel with? Joe, so that he would be saved. Who are the people He's going to put Joe into a church so that he can be discipled? And then once he grows up and grows in the Lord, who is Joe going to go and share the gospel with so that more people would be saved? You see how this continues. Second, we'll look at the foundation of providence. It says, "In His infinite power and wisdom." Let's go to Psalm 145, verse 11. This first paragraph is just highlighting God's character in being the ruler in providence. Psalm 145, verse 11. Well, verse 10, it says, "All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power." Friends, how is it that God can plan something and then carry it out perfectly? He must be all-powerful. He must be almighty, which means man cannot thwart the will of God. Before the foundation of the world, His perfect plan, nothing that we do can stop His perfect plan. When God's will and our will collides, who wins? God. Every time. Let's go to Proverbs 3, verse 19. It says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew." So God planned for creation to happen, and then He came and brought it into place. Jesus said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Which means that God's plan was not dependent upon what we would do, how we would respond, or how we would act. He didn't say, you know what, and there's a theory out here where it says God was just the recipient of the card dealer. And there were certain types of worlds He could choose from, and He chose the best world. But He couldn't choose a world that was different than that. And then He went with it. No. Everything that happens, God decided was going to happen. He didn't plan it based upon how we would respond. We respond based upon how He planned it. Third, what is the essence of providence? It says, "Doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern." God is actively involved in His providence. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verses 34 and 35. This is when Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was restored after he was out acting like an animal, a cow, in the grass for over a year. It says, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honor Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and He does according to His will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?'" God is all powerful, all in control. He governs, He disposes. In this situation, Nebuchadnezzar became so prideful, and God humbled him to where he was acting like a madman, going around on all fours with long fingernails and long hair, eating the grass like a cow. He humbled the most powerful man in the world at the time, of the most powerful kingdom. And this is so different, isn't it? The idea that God is interacting, intervening, working. Some of the founding fathers were theists. They believed in the idea that God was like a watchmaker. He would create the watch, wind the watch, set the watch down, and then leave. And He would not pay attention to the watch. That is not our God. Our God created the world, and He continues to govern, to watch, to intervene. And the greatest of intervention was Jesus Christ, God becoming man Himself and coming into the world. Let's go to Acts chapter 17, verses 25 through 28. This shows the same aspect as well. That God is active. This is why we pray. If God was not active, why would we pray? He's not going to intervene. He's not going to move. He's not going to respond. He's just the deist God out over there not paying attention to us. That is not our God. Acts 17, 25 through 28. says, "Nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." Look at how God is taking care of people, not just Christians. He's not served by human hands. Instead, he provides for all mankind life, breath, and everything. Everything that we have has been provided by God. The food that we had, if we start all the way back, who gave the seed for some of that produce? Who provided the grass and the corn for the cattle, for the meat that was in the chili? Who did this? Who brought down rain from above? Who provided fertilizer? Who gave man strength and power to go and do this? And then gave us wisdom to use and create implements to help speed up the process of slaughtering, the process of taking corn and beans and other crops out that we have to go down and pick everything out. Who helped do this? It was God. And then not even that, but when the food goes into our mouth and goes down into our belly, who designed it so that our stomach would break it down into nutrients and then it would be shipped out all across our body and would be beneficial and good for us, and then the waste would actually be put out, that way it wouldn't store up and cause us to die? And then who gives us the air for us to breathe that's at the perfect percentage? This is all of God. Let alone the sunshine that we need and the nice weather that we have to be able to produce these things. It is all of God. And that's why God deserves to be praised and worshipped. And that's why we're going to get into it. There's no such thing as chance. Who are the objects of providence? It says, all creatures and things from the greatest even to the least. Let's go to Matthew 10, verses 29 through 31. Jesus was talking here, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." What is he saying here? It's not just human beings that God is in control of. Even two sparrows, two birds that maybe no one else has paid attention to, God knows when one of them dies and falls to the ground and hits the ground. If God knows that, then what about us? What about our life, our circumstances? How God works His providence to bring us to interact with one another, to run into someone at the grocery store, or to have a situation of health like cancer or illness or sickness. This is all of God's hand. These things happen because He is in control. And especially if He knows what the insignificant are going through, then what about us? He knows exactly what we're going through. And He has planned it, and it has purpose, and it's for His glory. That's the important thing. What is number five? The nature of providence. By His most wise and holy providence. Let's go to Proverbs 15, verse 3. So His providence is wise and holy. Imagine, friends, if we were in control of all things, would our providence be wise and holy? No. Why? Because we don't know everything, and because we're not pure, and also we're not powerful. Proverbs 15:3. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." Let's talk about this. North Korea, considered one of the worst countries in the world, especially for Christians. Are the borders in North Korea, are the internet being controlled by the government of North Korea, the blackout that they can't hear from outside countries for the people there in North Korea, does that impede God? Absolutely not. They cannot build fences high enough. They cannot have a missile defense system that's strong enough. They cannot have an army that's big enough to stop God from knowing what's going on in the palace of Kim Jong-un. It doesn't matter. God is most wise. He's holy. He sees upon even their evil. China, they're now persecuting Christians even to a greater extent. The Communist Party are afraid of the numbers of Christians that are coming and are becoming prevalent there. And what are they trying to do? Take down steeples, make churches go underground, break them up. Does God know what's going on? Absolutely. Is this out of His control? Is it like sand going through His hands? He can't catch it. No. He knows exactly what He's doing. And their evil cannot be taken away from that sight. Or even we look at churches that God is building up that are for His good. He's doing it by His plan, and He knows and sees what is taking place. Especially when we look at us personally. When we go through tough, difficult situations, God's providence that He is good, that He is holy, is what should give us comfort. When you go through a divorce, when you go through cancer, when you go through feeling dreary, feeling depressed, when you have the burden of the world upon you, or you have relationship issues with people, and you say, Lord, why is this? Or you lose your job, or your finances, or you're just wondering how this is going to take place. And you say, Lord, why? And He says nothing. All He says is, trust me. Is He good? Yes. Is He wise? Yes. Is He in control? Yes. Do I understand? No. So what do? We just trust God by faith. We don't trust because we have understanding. R.C. Sproul wrote, if I see these painful things as coming to me from the hand of a good, holy, and kind providence who is working all things together for my good, I will have a reason to endure it. Friends, one of the most comforting truths of God being in control and planning out all things for His good and ours is that we do not have to answer or ask the question, why me? That's not the question to ask. The question is, why not me? Why not me? Why not God use me in this way? Why not God? Because I know You have a purpose behind it. Now let's compare that to the atheistic, naturalistic worldview, which says, you eat, you drink, you do some things, you die, and that's it. You're dead. There's no afterlife. Well, when you have cancer, what's the purpose? There is no purpose. It's just what happens in this world. When you have a relationship that breaks down, what's the purpose? There's no purpose. When you lose your job, there is no purpose. There's no one in control. It just happened. When your friend gets in a car accident and dies, and you're grieving, you say, why? There is no purpose. We're just atoms that run into each other and eventually we don't exist anymore and that's it. And you wonder why people are turning to alcohol and to drugs and turning to entertainment to try to numb themselves. It's because there's no purpose to their existence because they have fled from God. The sixth thing, the compatibility of providence to the end for which they were created. Let's go to Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Why did God create? That's the question. What was the purpose of all this? What's the purpose of His providence? Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. What was the purpose? What's the reason for His providence? He created all things for Himself. That's why. That all things were created through Him and for Him. This creation is not about us. It's about us being created for God. For Him to display His glory, to display His honor, to display His goodness and kindness to us. And the greatest display of that is the cross of Jesus Christ, what He endured by coming to die for sinners like you and like me. This is why providence is in existence. Seventh, the determining causes of God's providence. It says, according unto His infallible knowledge and the free, immutable counsel of His own will. Let's go to Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. This is asking the how question. How does He do it? Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people who He has chosen as His heritage. The United Nations in New York City, when you have all these countries come together and you have the Security Council with China and Russia and France and England and the United States, and they pass resolutions, all those plans are for naught. They are nothing in the sight of God. The council, they come together. Even these treaties that we have, like NAFTA or NATO, all those things are for naught. The working together. We saw this in Genesis where they tried to build the Tower of Babel. Why? Because they wanted to go up and kill God so that they could be God. And guess what happened? God said no. And then He confused them. That's why we have French and Spanish. That's why we have Chinese, Japanese, Arabic. Because God confused everyone and the language, they spread out. And now we can't work together like we could because we have different languages. We have this barrier. So who thwarted God's will? No one. And what comfort does that give to the believer who is following God's will, who is part of the kingdom of God and saying, come, Lord Jesus, come. May Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we see more people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, friends, He did not look down the corridors of time and say, because I see that they're going to do it, I choose it to happen that way. No, He said, this is how it's going to happen. And then it happens because He said so. Number eight, the goal of providence. To the praise of the glory of His wisdom, power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy. This should invoke us to praise God. When we look at how God is, this should stir our hearts to worship Him, friends. Let's go to Isaiah 63, verse 14. It says, like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. Talking about God and His remembering His mercy upon Israel and how He is the one who led these people out because He wanted to make His name known. A glorious name. Let's go to Romans 9, verse 17. For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then He has mercy on whomever He wills, and He hardens whomever He wills. If you remember in Exodus, where The people were under the bondage and slavery of the Egyptians. And now they had to go get their straw to be able to do the bricks. And they were getting behind. And so they were getting worked heavily. And Moses was chosen by God to send them out. And so he brings these plagues upon Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, yes, I'll let him go. And then he changes his mind. And then God brings a plague. And then a plague. And then a plague. And finally it was the curse of killing the firstborn. And let him go. And then he pursued him. And then there was the parting of the Red Sea. And they tried to follow. And then God had the Red Sea come upon them and destroy the army of Pharaoh. But what did this show? That the most powerful country in all the world, that they could not stand against God, the Israel of God. They could not stand against Him. That they could not stop His will. That they were put in their place. And that gave God glory. Because the other nations, they heard them coming. Remember, one of the nations cut a deal with them because they knew that they were with the God of Israel. They lied to do so, but they did so because they knew of God being really true. And the same thing with us. As we go around and we see and talk to people, and they see Christ in us, as we talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are different from the world because we're growing in our holiness, so we don't act like them, we don't speak like them, we don't have the same priorities or the same interests. That should be a testimony of Jesus Christ. That should give Him glory, it should give Him honor. And then when we see in our life unusual providences where there are things that come about and we say, there's just no way I could have planned that. And you say, to God be the glory. I mean, one of them we have here with Jeff and how we came interacted, that he saw us on Facebook. And then a couple weeks later, now he's here. There's no way I could have said, Lord, here's how I'm going to plan things. And there's no way he could have said the same thing, but God somehow brought it about. Or even this scenario where the previous pastor here, how he went and left here and went to the church where Sam Waldron was at. And we found out about that just over a month ago. And he was there for 5 or 6 months. And he knew, Pastor Archer knew those guys, and they knew each other well. There's no way I could have thought that up or said, you know what, God, this is what I'd like to see happen. And who gets the praise? Who gets the honor out of that? It's God. It wasn't because we were smart or figured it out. It's just God was merciful to us. This should invoke us to praise God. R.C. Sproul wrote, "We must remember, however, that the worst possible injustice inflicted on us in this world has happened through the providence of God." The worst injustice happens through the providence of God. And the worst injustice in the world was Jesus Christ going to the cross, and that happened through the providence of God. Why? Because out of that injustice came joy, came hope, came salvation. Out of the greatest evil came the greatest good, that we could be saved. And Sproul says, to walk by faith means to trust the character of God. When we have tough times come, there's a question that we will ask, is God really good? And is God really in control? We can say God's in control, but He's not good. Or we can say God is good, but He's not in control. If you go either way, you're going to go off into one ditch or the other. But if you keep those together, then you will trust God. Let's look at paragraph 2. What's the relation of providence to the use of means? First, although in relation to the foreknowledge and decree of God, the first cause of all things come to pass immutably and infallibly, so that there is not anything befalls any by chance or without His providence. So someone said, there is not one rogue molecule in all of creation. Even when you roll the dice, God causes it to come up snake eyes. Even when you pull a lot, He causes you to get the short or the long lot. And that's why I don't like the word potluck. I think it should be pot providence. But that's just a little nitpicky. But even that, friends, we say luck. Well, you're a lucky person, or I had a lucky day. No, Because what that's saying is that I'm under a random confluence of events, and somehow it just came out in my favor. Which means there is no God over in control of that. I do not want to live in a world where there's no God in control of what's happening. Let's go to Acts 2. Well, we did Acts 2, 23. Let's do Proverbs 16, 33. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Now, am I going around telling you should do the casting of lots all the time? No, I'm not saying that. But even in this situation, the casting of a lot was foreordained, predetermined before the foundation of the world, and through His providence, He had it come about in that way. There's no chance. There's no coincidence. There's no luck. Nothing like that. It is the will of the triune God. Second, an assertion. Yet by the same providence, He ordereth them to fall out according to the nature of second causes, either necessarily, freely, or congently. So God is the first cause of all things. So when He said, let there be light, He made it happen. But that does not mean that God does not use means. Example, Lord, please give me food. Amen. Well, we shouldn't expect to get food if we have the ability to work and we don't go work and make money so that we can go buy food. We shouldn't think God is going to just immediately, I don't know if you remember Star Trek, but you could go to this thing in the wall and just order your food and it would just be there and you pull it out and eat it. Lord, I don't feel like cooking tonight. I have the food in the cupboard. Please just cook it for me. No. God has created means for us that He works through. And the same thing with evangelism. This is where hyper-Calvinists go. They say, well, I should not go and share the gospel with people because they may not be elect. And God's saying, no, share the gospel with everyone. How are people to be saved? Through the gospel. Now, could God have set it up differently where people were not saved through the sharing of the gospel, through reading the Bible? Yes, but He didn't. He could have set it up where if you painted a beautiful picture, people would come to Jesus Christ. He could set it up in many other ways, but He didn't. He said, go and share the gospel. That's why we share the gospel. Could He just leave us out of the plan and just save people and give them an epiphany? He could, but He didn't set it up that way. So God is sovereign, but He uses means like me and you to share the good news, to disciple kids, to use one another to help in our growth and sanctification. Having said this, we should not think that we are puppets. R.C. Sproul said, we are not puppets with no volition, freedom, or power, but we have no volition, freedom, or power beyond the power and freedom given to us by God. Let's look at Luke 13:3. Free or random acts are even determined by God. Luke 13:3. Jesus is answering, this is the Tower of Siloam, I believe. Do you not think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So we think, friends, a tornado comes through town and wipes out the southern part of town and some people die. And we think, they're really bad sinners because they got wiped out and died. Well, it was God's will beforehand that they would be killed. But that is a warning to us that we need to repent and believe too because our death day is going to come. The tornadoes hitting those people was not a random act where we can explain it by science. This is how it works. Well, yes, that's how it works. But why there? Because God said, there. Why the tsunami that happened, what was that, in Indonesia back in 2004 and took 100,000 people? Why these hurricanes, like the hurricane that hit New Orleans in 2005? Why New Orleans? Why at that time? Was it because New Orleans was more wicked? No, God chose for New Orleans at that time. Victory in war is even predetermined by God. Let's go to Proverbs 21, 31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but the victory belongs to the Lord. So you get your horse ready, you get the cavalry ready to go into battle, but the Lord is the one who brings the victory. You see how God is the first cause, and He works through the means of the cavalry riders to bring about victory. But the cavalry needed to go at that time. Well, even the fall of Jericho walls, they had to do what He wanted him by going around. And finally, the last day, seven times, He blew the horn and boom, it went down. Could God have made the walls fall down without them doing that? Absolutely. But that's how He decided for it to be done. Let's go to chapter 20, verse 18 of Proverbs. It says, plans are established by counsel, but wise guidance wage war. I'm trying to figure out why I had that one there, but through the guidance and wisdom. Another great example is about the death of Ahab in 1 Kings 22. Let's go there. 1 Kings 22, verse 34. If you remember, he was out fighting and he tried to disguise himself so that he wouldn't be killed. It says, but a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale of armor and the breastplate. Therefore he said to the driver of the chariot, turn around and carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded. And so he just drew it at random. Now, was he doing that? Yes, but the Lord was following the arrow. Remember, before he went into battle, he said he wouldn't survive. He disguised himself, and God directed that archer who just shot it into the air. And that arrow went right between the right moment or the right spot in between the armor so that he would die. And God's promise of him dying for his sin would take place. And then finally, in the book of Ruth, Boaz and her coming together, Ruth coming from Moab and following her mother-in-law because her husband had died, and then just so happened that Boaz comes into the picture. Was that just a coincidence? No. It was foreordained by God for this to take place. And that's why, as we look at this and think about it, God is in control of all things. This is why we pray, friends. This is why we have hope during tough and difficult times. This is why, as the election approached in November, we're wondering what's going to happen. We could stay strong and steadfast in the Lord. This is why, if persecution does come upon us as Christians here, we can say this is a hand of persecution that God is allowing. He has a purpose and a plan for it, and we will not be afraid. This is why we can trust God, because every obstacle, everything that comes up is from His hand. Even the temptations of Satan himself, as we learned in Job, cannot happen unless God says, let it happen. And for us who are in Christ, we should take comfort in that. But if you are not a Christian, then you need to realize that because of the providence of God, today is the only day we have promised. We could be like the people in the Tower of Siloam. You could be walking across the street and get hit and killed. You could choke on a hot dog. There's so many things that could happen. You could have a heart issue and you could die. I knew a guy named Len Bias, who was a basketball player. He died on the basketball court. Well, actually, that was Hank Gathers. Len Bias died from a drug overdose. Hank Gathers on the basketball court. He was averaging like 25 points a game. They were doing full court press at Loyola Marymount in 1990. He was a strong ox. He could dunk the ball. They would throw it to him from half court. He'd take it from here and just put it down. He just dunked the ball. He was going back. They were pressing. And guess what happened? He fell down and died. And he was 21, 22 years old. And that just happened there. It happened 27 years ago. So for us who are unbelievers, if you are an unbeliever, realize this. God in His providence has a day for when our time will be past and we will die. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for You being in control, for Your providence, for being in control of all things. Help us, Lord, to trust You more. Help us not to question Your goodness. May You give us more faith and let us see that there are no coincidences in our lives, but that You are in control, and even bring about what seem like to be random events, that they are from Your providential hand. And now, Lord, we just thank You for our church services today. May You bless us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.